So this is a joint work of the IBM and the Technion, as was said, by Muli Ben-Yehuda, Dan Safri, and Asaf Schuster, as well as me. And the topic is VIOMMU, efficient IOMMU emulation, and I guess the topic brings to your mind two questions. Some of you think, why would anyone want to do IOMMU emulation? And the rest would just wonder what IOMMU is. So I hope to answer those two questions first. So let's start with DMA. DMA, direct memory access, is a way for the I/O device to access the memory independently of the CPU, allowing the CPU to do other tasks on the meanwhile. So if we look at the system here, the device accesses the memory directly, and this is done using physical addresses in legacy DMA. Now, using the physical addresses presented several challenges. Now, the first one is that it cannot be used natively in virtualization, and this point, which is very important, I will address in a second. But let's talk about the other problems. The second problem is that this system lacks memory protection from device accesses. So since we use physical addresses, the entire memory region is accessible for the device, and the device may corrupt the memory or read classified information. The third problem, which is specific to x86, is that in legacy devices that only support 32-bit, they cannot access the entire memory. So these three problems were resolved using the old saying that any problem in computer science can be solved with another level of indirection. And the indirection level is IOMMU, and it's not a new concept, IOMMU, I/O Memory Management Unit, but it is only recently introduced to x86. So the idea behind IOMMU is to add an indirection level between the addresses used for DMA and the physical addresses. Now, as you can see on the right side, IOMMU resembles memory management unit. However, the translation is performed in a device context and not in the process context. So in x86, this is done by splitting the devices into protection domains, and each device access is passable only if the memory is present, if the address is present in the domain of the device. So in I/O virtualization that I mentioned before, in our work, we address direct device assignment. Now, direct device assignment is one of the usage models which is possible for I/O virtualization, and it is very appealing. First of all, I should mention that in this case, the guest virtual machine interacts with the I/O device directly. Therefore, we can use unmodified guest operating system, and at least potentially, it can deliver the best performance. Now, IOMMU is required for the direct device assignment. And the reason for that, the first reason, is that we need protection. We need to isolate the guest. So in order for DMA accesses not to be able to modify the hypervisor memory or other guest memory, we need some capability of protection. As we saw, IOMMU enables it. The second problem is that virtualization adds an indirection level from the memory management unit point of view that the guest physical addresses are not the actual physical addresses. The hypervisor redirects the memory accesses, so memory accesses from the code of the guest are modified to other physical addresses, which are the actual ones, the host physical addresses. So when we are talking about DMA accesses, we need also a similar indirection from guest physical addresses to host physical addresses. Those are performed in the IOMMU. This is the direct map scheme as it is used today by hypervisors that redirects the entire memory of the guest to the actual physical memory. Now, this method presents several shortcomings. First of all, when we use direct device assignment, which is very appealing, as we said, we cannot use memory overcommitment. We cannot dynamically change the amount of memory which is assigned to the guest, the physical memory. So since memory is the main limiting factor for server consolidation, this is very painful. The second problem that we have is that we don't have inter-guest protection. So as we said before, we have inter-guest protection. We have protection of one guest or the hypervisor memory from DMA accesses issued by the guest. However, if inside the guest there are memory regions which we don't want to be accessible, we cannot use we cannot have this merit. So if we have a malicious I/O device or a faulty device driver, the guest operating system may fail. And the third point is we do not have redirection of DMAs. So the guest cannot use 32-bit I/O devices, which may seem not too serious, but also other usage models, such as nested virtualization and other costume mappings, cannot be used. So these shortcomings are going to be addressed using IOMMU emulation in a second, but first I want to explain what we mean by saying IOMMU emulation. So we are not referring to systems without IOMMU, we are referring to systems with physical IOMMU, but we want to use a single physical IOMMU to emulate multiple IOMMUs for multiple guests. The I/O device will still be assigned to the guest directly, and this is actually the first evaluated x86 IOMMU emulation, but this is not the focus of our work. Our focus is how to perform it efficiently. So let's look at the flow of the IOMMU emulation, the basic flow, and it's similar to other emulations that you know. Now, as you can see, the slide is split into three sections. On the right section, you see the system domain with all the hardware. On the middle, you see the hypervisor, which is a software, of course, and the guest at the left is software as well. And the flow begins when the I/O device driver wants to issue a DMA transaction. Since it sees an IOMMU, not a physical one, but an emulated, it's not aware of it, it goes to the mapping layer and requests an I/O virtual address, a virtual address in the I/O VA address space, for the guest physical address it has. As you can see, it's not the same as it is for memory allocation in the virtual address space. The mapping layer is a software component which is in charge of handling the IOMMU. What it does at this point is allocates an I/O VA, an I/O virtual address, for the guest physical address. It needs to map it, so it goes to the page table entries of the emulated IOMMU and updates the mappings. As you can see, the mappings it writes is to the guest physical address. It's not aware of any indirection of the physical address of the guest that still takes place. Then it invalidates the I/O TLB, the I/O translation look-aside buffer. This invalidation traps to the IOMMU emulation, and then the IOMMU emulation that learned, at this point we are running in the hypervisor context, and then the IOMMU emulation that learns the I/O virtual address that was just invalidated goes to the emulated page table entries and reads the guest physical address. It translates it to the host physical addresses and pins the pages, preventing those pages from swapping out. Then it maps the actual mapping that it wants to have in the physical page table entries, translating the guest physical address into the host physical address, and performs invalidation of the I/O TLB, of the physical I/O TLB. At this point, everything, all the emulation pretty much completed, control returns to the mapping layer and to the I/O device driver. The I/O device driver has the I/O virtual address, and it can use it to issue a transaction to this address. The IOMMU redirects this access to the actual physical address, and the I/O buffer is accessed correctly. So how does it help us? The first thing that we see is that since we have a very explicit knowledge when a DMA buffer is going to be used, we can just pin and unpin, preventing the swapping out of a page during the time a DMA transaction is passable from a page. Moreover, we can enjoy intra-guest protection and DMA redirection. The physical IOMMU is programmed according to the emulated, so we have those merits in the guest as well. And third, we did not sacrifice any of the inter-guest protection since the page is pinned to the physical memory the entire time it is mapped to the physical IOMMU. So if the page is accessed, it belongs from a device, it belongs to the same virtual machine. So it seems like everything is good and well, but we have some problems. And those problems are first due to the emulation. Every time we change a mapping, we result in a VM exit. So this is very this is not good, as a VM exit, this word switch, is an expensive operation. It has both direct cost of the VM exit itself, and it all has an indirect cost of the cache pollution that the guest and the hypervisor cost to each other. This actually diminishes the advantages of device assignment, so it's kind of going back. The second problem that we have is that mapping and unmapping in the IMMU are lengthy and frequent operations. So even if we don't talk about virtualization, using the IMMU requires allocation of I/O virtual address, memory mapped I/O transactions, and more. And therefore, even in native mode, if we use a fully secure mode, we are going to reduce the throughput by 57%. So in our work, we present two solutions. One is a sidecar emulation, which is a solution from the hypervisor point of view. And the second is IMMU mapping layer announcements, which is a change in the operating system, but not a para-virtualized change. So let's begin with sidecar emulation. An additional core, a sidecar, can be used to avoid VM transition through para-virtualization, and this was shown by Kumar and Liu, and other works as well. Similarly, sidecar emulation can be performed. Now, when we talk about sidecar emulation, we want to avoid the VM exits. So on the left, we have the guest and the hypervisor, and we want to avoid the transitions from the guest to the hypervisor and vice versa. On the right, we have the sidecar. We are going to perform the emulation using the sidecar. So once the guest wants to write to an emulated register, it writes to a shared memory region between the guest and the sidecar. This region is polled by the sidecar, which emulates the behavior on the actual hardware. It then writes the done indication according to the protocol of the device back to the emulated registers. This done indication is being read by the guest that can continue its execution. Now, it seems very appealing, but we have some required device properties. It cannot be done for every device, for any device. First, we need a synchronous register write protocol. We must ensure that the write of a register is being read by the sidecar before we do an additional write to the same register. Second, a register can only hold the read-only or field or write fields. If we have both, we cannot ensure that the read-only bits are not being overwritten by a write access. Third, we need loose response time requirements. And last, we need an explicit update of memory resident data structures. We cannot just pull big portion of the memories of the memory. We need them to be very limited. If we look at x86 IOMMU, we see that in Intel IOMMU, in the VTD, has these properties, while AMD IOMMU does not. The second solution that we offer are optimization to the mappings. So the mapping mechanism that we change is still usable in native systems. And this is the difference between the power virtualization and full virtualization. The first modification that we looked into is IOTLB invalidation scheme, changing the IOTLB invalidation scheme. So I will not talk about it too much, since it appears in the paper, but IOTLB invalidation is an expensive operation, and Linux already coalesces and defers invalidations. This is done by Linux, by the default mode of Linux. In our paper, we looked into asynchronous invalidations in order to improve performance. The second way that we can revise the mapping layer is reusing mappings. So by usually what system does is that it uses a single-use mapping strategy, which means that every request to map an I/O virtual address is being performed, and a new I/O virtual address is being allocated for every I/O buffer. There is a possibility to reuse mappings, as was shown before. And the idea behind reusing mappings is that if we are requested to map the same physical page as an existing mapping as an existing mapping, we can just use the existing mapping instead of remapping the page. So instead of having two virtual pages point to the same physical page, let's use the first one instead. Now, this basic idea, which is called shared mappings, was shown by Willman. However, in order to increase the number of reuse possibilities in the cost of security, by relaxing security a little bit, we can just use other schemes as persistent and on-demand by never unmapping or deferring unmappings until a quota of stale mappings is reached. Our proposal is similar, yet it is more secure in a way. The idea is, this scheme is called optimistic teardown, and the idea is to defer unmappings until a quota of stale mappings is reached, but also if a time limit elapses. This is useful since DMA accesses demonstrate both temporal and spatial locality, and on the other hand, it is safer as stale mappings are always reclaimed, and in a way, it is also similar to the way IoT LB invalidations are deferred. As you can see, this is Linux default. We evaluated the performance of the different optimizations of the sidecar and of the mapping layer optimizations, and we see the system, the testbed over here. I will not get into all the details, but we used VTD, Intel VTD, Intel Ion MMU, with KVM and Linux 2.6.35. I will only show results of several of the benchmarks. So first, let's look at the time it takes to do sidecar emulation, whether it's better or not. And this is the time it takes to map and unmap a single page. As you can see, the table shows the CPU cycles of a bare metal, trap and emulate, and sidecar approach, where the bare metal is non-emulated environment. This is from the point of view of the systems that perform the mapping or the unmapping. So in the emulated configurations, this is the guest. As you can see, we split the CPU cycles into the software-hardware interaction and to logic. The logic is everything else other than the interaction with the software, with the hardware. What we can see here is that the sidecar emulation is over 3 times faster than trap and emulate in total. One surprising result is that the logic of the bare metal is slower than the logic of the sidecar or even of trap and emulate. And the reason for that is that our emulation is of simpler hardware than the actual hardware, and therefore the logic part can be performed of setting the PTEs, etc., can be performed faster. We now look at throughput. And in this table, we see 3 configurations out of the configurations we evaluated. And the settings are secure, which is Linux, but with a set of different settings without IoTLB invalidations patching. The relaxed, which is Linux default with IoTLB patching. The invalidations are being deferred, and therefore it is insecure in a way, not completely secured. And the optimistic teardown, in which we defer unmappings. Instead of deferring invalidations, we defer unmappings, and therefore we have reuse opportunities, mappings reuse opportunities. The results are shown in the percentage out of the maximum attainable throughput of 9.3 gigabit per second, and this was performed using NetPerf. Now, we see that optimistic teardown is over 7 times faster than the relaxed in the guest. And we see that also, in the data which is not shown in this slide, that the sidecar is busy at most 33% of the time in the most secure and most demanding configuration. We then looked at two macro benchmarks. Apache is shown here. We see that the maximum attainable throughput in the guest is not as good as in the bare metal, but in this case, it was not due to the IOMMU emulation. We measured, and the maximum attainable throughput in the guest was only 67%. So in this slide, we can see that the trapped emulate with the optimistic teardown does not perform as good as we saw before, but still much better than Linux default, and with using a sidecar as well, performs almost as good as non-IOMMU emulation. To conclude, using IOMMU emulation, we can enable memory overcommitment, inter-guest protection, and the redirection of DMA transactions. Sidecar emulation of the IOMMU and mapping layer optimizations can reduce the mapping overhead significantly with modest protection compromise. In the future, we expect that hardware support would deliver even better performance. Two such modifications are required. First, a multiple levels of IOMMU paging hierarchy that can deliver inter-guest protection. And second, IO page faults that can enable memory overcommitment even for non-cooperative guests, guests that do not use IOMMU. Questions?
Speaker? Other questions?
Josh Triplett, Portland State University. I was wondering, you described this specifically as a means of virtualizing an IOMMU on a system that already has an IOMMU. Does any of your work translate to emulating an IOMMU if you don't have a system one, or if that system IOMMU is not sufficiently capable?
First of all, the emulation of IOMMU is intended since we cannot share a single IOMMU between the different guests. We cannot allow a direct access of the guests to the physical IOMMU in any way. We must be in the way. We cannot emulate an IOMMU on a system without an IOMMU and allow direct device assignment to the guest. If we just want to emulate an IOMMU, we have no problem like that. We can do it. And using emulation or power virtualization, we can still do it in a system, but it doesn't have the merits that we saw in this work. It does not allow us to get good performance as well as protection and redirection of DMAs.
What about in the case where you do have an IOMMU, it just isn't as capable as you had described needing for the full series?
If we have, let's say, AMD, first of all, we can always emulate an IOMMU which is different than the one we have. I'm not sure whether the operating system will support an AMD processor with Intel IOMMU, but in theory, it is possible. If we do not have the properties of Intel IOMMU, we cannot use sidecar emulation due to the limitations that we saw before.
Okay, thank you.
Could you just go back one slide? You said something about, modest protection compromise. What exactly do you mean by that?
Okay. Since we defer, let's look at Linux today, okay, Linux default. Linux default defers in validations, IOTLB invalidations. There is a short period in which in the IOTLB, potentially, there are stale mappings. In this case, you may access memory which is of the same guest, but now does not hold the IO buffer, but holds other data. So what happens is that you may overwrite, the IO device may overwrite or may access, may overwrite data which is it's not allowed to do, or may access data which is not intended for this, it's not intended to read, confidential one.
But isn't that isn't that a correctness problem then? So is the device driver somehow going to behave in a manner it shouldn't have or something like that?
This is Linux as it behaves today. So if Linux works correctly, obviously you can expect it that it's right. It's only security compromise in a way that you need to look. On one hand, you have a system with fully secure IOMMU. On the other hand, you have system with no IOMMU. And if we are talking right now, we're talking about a security compromise that happens also in native environment.
So, but the functionality wise, if the device sort of works, as long as there is no malicious device driver,
Exactly. If you don't have a malicious device driver, you can use it in order to enable memory overcommitment and the redirection of DMAs.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.